was a vision softly creeping, left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the spell of silence.
Good evening, gentlemen. We are back with episode 4 of Overheard at Kelly's. We're joined by a new member in the league, a rookie. He's gone through his hazing. We're going to talk to him tonight about a few different topics. We'll get to that shortly, but in the meantime, Evan, please be joined with you by as always.
I'm feeling pretty good. Had a great win this week for the team. I'm not feeling too good about the NFL. Today was a pretty rough day. It seemed like every 15 minutes they were coming out with another story or another report of people getting COVID. Looks like maybe the Titans aren't going to be able to play again next week. So I hope we get through this season. But on a personal level, I feel pretty good.
It's been a tough stretch here for the NFL. Seems like they're honestly struggling with it a bit more than college football to this point, which is surprising given their deep pockets, but we'll get to that later. To our guest,
good evening,
Chris Goderup. Good evening. Welcome to the show. As a rookie, we have quite a night planned, but just to kick things off, it's been a very busy past couple of days for both of us. But as the host of this podcast, we wanted to get an inside look from your perspective on the trade that's gone down.
I would love
if you would please take the floor.
So we had ourselves a blockbuster week, week five. Yeah. I think did we trade on Tuesday? Tuesday, right? Yesterday, yeah. So I was on the couch. Rose approached me with a text, and I was kind of rattled.
Wow, what a surprise. Rose approaching somebody with a text for a trade.
And, you know, I thought about it. We bounced back. We got pretty in depth with our discussions, and it ended up being an absolute blockbuster. I was sweating on the couch, hitting confirm. I think it's a win-win. I think Rose's team gets better. My team gets partially better for the time being, but has huge upside.
Now, I think that's a very fair accounting of what took place. And I do think it's funny and worth noting that our conversations initially did not start at the quantity of players that it ended at. It just
started
slowly
for a 2-for-3,
grew
I believe,
into the size of the trade that it became.
What was the original trade?
That's correct.
I don't even remember.
Going to be.
If I can pull up the receipts, let's see. But, Chris, while I look for this, were you hesitant at all, or did you always feel pretty good? There's always the moment of just not hesitation, that excitement of hitting confirm. But
I was
were you always sold on this?
I was getting a good side of the deal. The thing that like we were like nitpicking over was like kind of like the worst players in the trade, kind of per se. Like it was like the backup running backs and like running back twos and flexes. So it wasn't like I was getting good players, trading like good players. So it wasn't like nerve-wracking, but trading away Dalvin Cook was tough. He's had a good year so far, and running backs are very scarce at the moment.
No doubt. So true. Now, I reached out at 1:26 p.m. Eastern time yesterday. I said hello. Chris said hello, sir, back. I responded with Michael Thomas and Antonio Gibson for Mr. Dalvin. Chris says, I may actually have to think about that one. Then he counters with, would you consider Thomas, Gibson, Thielen for Cook, Anderson, and Juju? It escalated very quickly. That when that was proposed, I was hesitant of giving up Gibson. But I think taking advantage of my position in the league with the number one waiver order, I think being able to throw in Joshua Kelly in exchange for Devin Singletary really kind of sweetened both sides, and yeah, we were able to push it through that way.
The Kelly part was huge.
Because it satisfied both of our needs. Then Eckler getting thrown in there is, I think, should Michael Thomas and Eckler come back to full strength, I probably
see my play was super my team. Play was I was but I mean not to think ahead of myself, obviously a lot could happen, but I'm 3-1 and I have a strong position to possibly make the playoffs. So I was thinking Eckler's a smart play in the long run if anyone can stay healthy, because then I build just absolute powerhouse if everyone stays healthy. But I obviously run the risk of him possibly not playing the rest of the season and Michael Thomas with the high ankle sprain.
But you do have the security of Kelly, even if Eckler doesn't come back. That's what's nice about your trade. Now from my side, I think that I made my team better in the short term, just because I need that boost immediately. Whereas you're in a much better position and can have that forward thinking. I have
like the position to like with my strength of wide receivers. If I did approach Matt Moore about a possible running back trade. But I think I have enough weapons to throw a nice trade together in the future.
No doubt. Now, Evan, do you have any questions for Chris on this transaction?
No. I think it makes sense in theory for both of you. I think it's a little early to be making trades of that magnitude. For Chris, maybe. I could see why Ryan – it makes sense for both of you. Chris is just taking the gamble that both these guys return as we know them. I mean, if Michael Thomas comes back as like 90% of the Michael Thomas that we know, he's probably still the best wide receiver in the league after Odell. For Ryan, yeah, you needed players now. So it made sense to offload your prized assets. I mean, I would be a little worried if I'm Chris. Chris, I would be a little worried that Eckler like just doesn't come back, because I thought he tore his hamstring, which is not ideal.
No, there's definitely like a 20% chance he doesn't come back for the year.
Yeah, because then I would be a little worried about your running backs. I mean, I know you got Antonio Kelly, Gibson. So like, and who was the other? So who ended up with Singletary? Who ended up with Josh Kelly?
Singletary. I have Kelly.
Okay. All right. So I mean, I guess that makes sense. Like, if Eckler doesn't come back, then you have Kelly as your running back for the Chargers. Like, that'll just be the run. So you got the running back for the Chargers either way.
Yeah. One just is probably significantly correct. Better than the other, but.
Yeah. I mean, It's a good – I think it makes sense for both parties. I don't think – like, nobody was freaking out. Like, I don't even think Billy was that upset about it.
There's really – I feel like – I mean, from a league – like, obviously I'm biased, but, like, from a league standpoint, I feel like it's hard to, like, say it was, like – it's lopsided because, like, mine involves a lot of risk. But it could play out not unfairly, but, like, I could win a lot, like – I could win pretty big out of this trade, or I could lose everything.
Well, I mean, I think, Chris, for you, this trade could win you a championship versus for Ryan, maybe this gets him to like a 500 record by the end of the year in a few weeks or something. Like, he's just trying to come up for air, not finishing last. Honestly, no offense, Ryan, because you're in last place, I think. Yeah, you are.
Not taking
You needed help now, so I see why you guys did it. I mean, it's very interesting that trade that you and Mike made for Eckler and AJ Brown has ended up being like useless for both of you. I mean, I guess you used Eckler in this trade, so he wasn't useless, but now Eckler's hurt and AJ Brown has not come back, and it doesn't seem like the Titans are ever really going to come back, because it seems like all of Tennessee just has COVID.
The Patriots could be on a downward spiral as well.
Yeah, I saw what did I see? I thought I saw a picture of like who has COVID now? Somebody else does.
Gilmore.
Yeah. I don't know. it's gonna be tough. I think
it's kind of wild how easy it is for like the NBA to run it, and like how complicated it is for.
Well, because the NBA,
I know they only have like 15 people on a team and blah blah blah, but like, I don't know. The NFL just has so much money. You think they'd get it like somewhat right?
I feel like unless they bought a city, because you have probably what like 100, 150 people on it for every team, including staff and players and everybody.
Yeah, it's probably like 200 plus, honestly.
They would need to be times 30, so you have like 6,000 people.
Yeah, it would be a zoo. It'd be impossible, probably.
Or 600 people. I don't know where my math is at.
Honestly,
6,000.
I think the only way you could.
They would be better off just going into like unclaimed land and literally building
or
like different barracks for teams to stay, turf complex. Just like
I wonder how much the bubble is so expensive. What's the stadium that has the turf that you could roll in and out? Is that Arizona?
A lot of them do. Vegas has it now, I think, and SoFi.
I feel like you would need a bunch of like roll out turfs to just replace, because like you're gonna have games constantly. Like the NBA, you could play a game on the same court over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Yep.
They should take over like one of the Olympic towns.
Yeah, that'd be pretty. Or like one of those. Do those have a bunch of field? Do those have football fields though?
Soccer and like I think soccer. Do they have soccer?
I don't know if soccer happens, because soccer in the Olympics is weird because it's U23, so it's basically the youth teams. I don't know where they play. Obviously on a soccer field, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know how they do it. It might be all over, like stadiums all over, like it is for the World Cup. But I just hope that COVID isn't – like obviously COVID is already affecting fantasy and the NFL, but I hope that – when we're coming down to the wire, no matter who it is, I hope that it's not COVID that determines a champion or like, yeah, people that get into the playoffs. Like, I hope by then it's kind of like figured out or under control, because that'd really suck if you're looking for a playoff spot going into the final week or two of the season, and then like your best player gets COVID. Like, if Kamara got sick, I would be screwed. Like, it's like that for a lot of people. Like if Michael Thomas comes back and he gets it, then that would suck. But.
Yeah, that would suck.
I mean, many people are calling the NBA championship the Mickey Mouse ring. So, I mean, it'd be unfortunate if that were to happen for the conglomerate as well. But let's keep our fingers crossed. Evan, in regards to you, have you had any whispers or rumblings of trades for you specifically, or have you heard anything around the league with your sources?
Yes, I have actually. A few people have been reaching out to me for my players. I guess that's what happens when you lead the league in points, despite being disrespected week in, week out by the power rankings. I'm flooded with trade offers, so it's kind of like people are whispering one thing in my ear, but posting something else in the group me. So
they're telling you what you want to hear, and you're just
yeah. I'm being whispered sweet nothings, but honestly, I at this point, I'm probably sitting pat. I mean, usually I do like to make a few trades here and there, but in this season, with so much that you have to account for, and the way that my team has been playing, in spite of my record. I don't think it's a really great time, and I don't think it would send a good message to my players to move any of them when they've been performing so admirably.
Understandable. Moving on, Chris, as a new member of the league, did you have a perception or expectation of the league before entering? And now how does that compare entering 5 weeks into the current season where you're at?
Unlike other leagues, I feel like this league, since everyone's pretty much like diehard sports guys, it's very hard to make trades, and like everyone knows what they're talking about for the most part. So like, you can't really like fleece some kid for like one of their best players. You know, it's gonna have to like it's going to have to be a win-win like scenario for the most part. I think that's like the, like, I think that's the main difference, I would say, like what I expected. And it's kind of true, I guess. I've only made one trade, but I think, like we talked earlier, I thought it was a win-win, and we'll see how it plays out.
I think that's a fair analysis, and I think early in the conglomerate's history, there were some, not liabilities in the league, but you were able to take advantage of certain members. And Evan, would you agree that that's the case now that we've come to a point in the league where really everyone is fully invested and protecting their assets appropriately?
Yeah, early in the league's history, there was definitely a few times where I made trades to certain individuals that was – like, I would just trade a bunch of scrubs for their best player. And it was like trading like 5 pennies for a dime. Didn't really make sense. But yeah, I think the playing field is a lot more even. You don't really see winners or outright winners and losers of trades immediately. Usually it's later down the line where you could actually determine who won a trade. So I think that's for the best. And I think just having that overall competitiveness too, like you have 12 guys in the league now who all are equally competitive and at the beginning of the season probably all have around an equal chance of winning. So that makes it just more fun in my opinion. So yeah, I'm happy with the competitive balance of the league.
Agreed. Now, Chris, we gave you a little homework before the podcast tonight, and we asked you to come prepared with your power rankings. If you have those in front of you, would you care to start with number 12?
Yes, I do have them. At number 12, I have Brendan Smith, as in I am the liquor. Obviously, he has, you know, suffered some injuries this year, and his team is kind of struggling to gain some air. Obviously, it's 2 wins, but I just, you know, in the long run, I think it's going to catch up to him. And number 11, I have Ryan Rose. I think that'll change in the next couple weeks. I think he'll start to pass some people. I mean, you're projected 124. So, I mean, that's pretty high ranking, high projection. Obviously, projections don't really matter, but I think the roster looks significantly better. Number 10, I have Mike, who went absolutely insane this week, or last week. Went for 160, I think. Yes. So, I mean, got a couple wins, one win. But obviously trending upwards. Joe Mixon is starting to pick it up a little bit after a slow start. And Davis has been huge with CMC out. Number 9, I have Jack. Jack's team's just, like, gritty. They put, like, he irked out a win against me, barely lost to Morin. Like, he's just close games every week.
Yep.
I just don't think, like, his running backs are very sketch. Gurley is just – I mean, you never know. What he could have 4 points or, like, he did last week where he dropped, like, 25 or 18. And Kenyon Drake's kind of slowly kind of crumbling a little bit here in the middle of the season. Number 8, I have Walsh. This is, like, a tough section. It is every week. Like, I think how many people are tied for fourth or something? I think it's like.
Oh, hold on. Let me say.
There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 teams.
Like, I think, like,
2 and 2.
EY's team's really good. It's, like, got a lot of depth. There's no one that, like, really stands out. Walsh's team's good. And, like, Lou is good. And Evan's obviously pretty good, and Billy's is good. So I think it's tough to say like that 8 through 3.
Are you kidding?
Is
leading the league in points is pretty good.
Hey,
I have 50 points more than that. I don't know what. I guess, oh, you know what, Ryan, change the rules for next season, because I guess points four doesn't matter for anything in any rankings. So maybe we should just go off of, I don't know, like most grit and just some arbitrary scale.
I think records speak volumes. And, you know, it's hard to make the playoffs if your team's 500. That's just bottom line. Your team is very good.
If the season ended today, I'm in the playoffs, though.
Yeah, but there's four people tied for – or seven people tied for fourth.
Yeah, the next closest person has 71 less points than me.
I'm not saying – I didn't say your team was bad. I would never slander it.
You would never slander the highest points in the league. That's very reassuring.
It's tough for me to like. You can't put Evan in the top three because you're 2-2. That's all it is. I think that's just a fair assessment.
Listen, it's your rankings, so that's your call. I'm not gonna say whether they're right or wrong. I'm just
it's biased.
Okay, yeah, no, that's fine. It's fine. I mean, these rankings, everybody's rankings are gonna be different. They all have different criteria. I mean, so far, none of them have used points or the product on the field. None of them have used that as the criteria. But everybody has different rankings, so it's whatever you think it is.
All I know is we have a big, big week this week, and. You know, I'm really hoping my team, you know, puts up a lot of points against you.
I mean, they probably will. That's kind of been the theme. I mean, I'm not. My team is very good. I've just been shafted by my schedule. I mean, I have like 100 more points against than anybody else.
Yeah, so. The points against is absurd. I will say, like, I would be upset if I was you.
Yeah, but I mean, I've been here before, so I'm trying not to let it affect me mentally.
Doesn't sound like it is.
No, I've been pretty even keeled about this whole thing. So,
I completely lost where I was. I think I was at.
You said Walsh. And, I think you're at number seven.
Okay, so at seven, I have. His team started off like projection wise was like dead last, I think, in like the ESPN rankings. I actually like his team a lot. I went offline with him and asked about a trade, and he denied me. He said he liked his depth and didn't want to touch it. So, you know, I respect that.
I think his team's good.
It's just like,
I actually can't think of too many trades that EY has been involved in.
He's pretty close to the vest. I've had some pretty productive conversations with him this year, and he's always open to converse, but I think he's not protective. Nor hesitant, but I think he trusts his drafting, and he rides it out unless there's really an opportunity that he feels like is a big win for him, which I respect.
He has so many running backs, which is insane this year.
He's got a lot of assets.
He has four running backs that are would legit start on anyone's team.
Yep.
So I mean, it's tough. It's obviously, like I said, it's tough to do this section, but at six, I have Lou. Lou's team's good. I'm pulling up the scoreboard here. Last week, Lou lost last week, but he put up 121. So I mean, this section is all like the 2-2 section is just tough.
Oh, who do you lose to?
This guy Airport Chili.
Oh, how many points did he score?
147.
Oh, that's
pretty good. Some bum wide receiver had three touchdowns. And Melvin Gordon will never go for 25 ever
again. Okay, you want to bet your life on it? Okay.
No, I don't. But
because he easily can.
He easily can. But the way he got it was so scummy. Breaking off like the 60-yarder in garbage time.
Yeah, I will say there's certain players in the NFL who I think care about their stat lines for fantasy, and Melvin Gordon seems to be one of them. Like he like apologizes when he's hurt, specifically to his fantasy managers, Like, he'll beat out.
You gotta like drafting a guy like that.
What?
You gotta love drafting.
Yeah, that's why. I love that. Like, I think I forget who it was. Is it Kenyon Drake that was tweeting at his fantasy managers to shut up and look at the product on the field? So.
I think fantasy is a huge like garbage. Like, you have to think about who's gonna be in garbage time and like who's gonna just dump down like and just. I think that's a huge aspect.
Oh yeah, for sure. Especially in PPR. Remember like that year that Bortles was like the Jaguars would be like down 8 touchdowns in the fourth quarter every game, and then he would get 20 points on just garbage time.
Yeah, that's why I think Dak's been so good this year, because they're down every fourth quarter and they just score 21 points every fourth quarter. All right. Let's see. Back to my list. Number 4, I have Billy.
Wait, you skipped me.
Coming off a tough week. Oh, Evan. Yeah, sorry. We've just been talking about points this whole time. I figured we'd discuss it. Number 5, Evan. Wow. Airport Chili's. Great, you know. A lot of points, just doesn't have the win column to show for it yet. So that's why I have him in 5th place. Number 4, Billy, coming off a tough week. Not cracking the 100 mark. But his roster, I mean, speaks for itself. It's pretty strong roster. Slightly low on the wide receiver position. But obviously, he's got a strong team and put up a lot of points in the past couple of games. And then the top 3, I have Morin at number 3. You know, he's got a lot of good wide running backs. And I know James Robinson kind of got some slander at the beginning of the year, but I think he's going to turn out to be a tank in the backfield. And he's got a big week against a fellow podcast member, Ryan.
Yes.
And then at number 2, I have myself. You know, you can't come on here expecting to, you know, be 7th. So, I think my trade is gonna be huge, and I expect my team to perform. Obviously, my running back situation's a little sketchy right now, but I have faith they'll show up to play. And number 1, I have Stockel. Tough to argue. Number 1 in the league, I think. Roster is great. And it's going to be interesting what happens with CMC when he comes back and if he can stay healthy. I think if he comes back strong, it's going to be tough to catch him.
Chris, that was very impressive walkthrough. I think –
thank you.
Even though there were some points to argue against among this group specifically as well, but I think you came with great points and really did a nice job of taking us through that. So nicely done.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Chris, those were good. I don't think what's the lowest somebody's ranked to themselves in the power ranking? I think B. Smith put himself pretty low when he was on here.
I think he put himself 11th.
Yeah, that was probably fair.
Humble.
He's camp. First in the homeowner rankings, though.
Yeah.
Yep. He's in on a list of his own, really. Now, with the departure of a certain member of the league, do you think the league is lacking a villain, and who can step up and take that role? Chris, I'll let you take the floor.
I don't have much to say about the, you know, I don't know all the details about the past, but I do know there's a ghost lurking somewhere, and, you know, I think I'm happy to be here, and I don't know who could possibly be the next villain, but, you know, Evan's got not the greatest tone about.
Are you kidding?
A couple things.
Oh, whoa.
And Billy, I don't know what Billy's been coming at Evan's neck recently. I don't know all the details behind that either, but, you know.
I can get into that a little bit.
I've been made week one victim, week two victim, week three victim, week four victim, victim on my own podcast. I don't really see how I could be the villain in this situation.
I can give my counting. So after Kittle went head to head against Ertz, I was in an extremely dark place. The best thing for me at that time was to leave the group mate. Now, Billy allegedly, well, according to Evan, who's a good friend, he sent me a screenshot of the group me. Billy said it's an all-time soft move to leave the league. Evan took that as me exiting the league completely.
Yeah, I was rattled.
And not just the group me.
I was rattled.
So Evan texts me to confirm, as a good friend, to check on me. But Billy took that as Evan ratting Billy out. So that's wow. where this sort of butting of heads has come together, and it's made for good, made for some great theater, I must say.
So classic middleman getting, you know.
Yes. Yes.
Tough scene for Evan.
No, I'm fine. I apologize. I'm chill. I'm like Teflon. Everything just slides right off me.
Yeah. So, I mean, in terms of a villain, I don't know if there's anyone to point out just yet, but I do think it's something to watch as the weeks go on.
Someone's got to be the guy. I don't know who's going to be the guy, but everyone needs a villain at some point. So we'll see who it is. You know, could we'll be see. Me. I don't know.
I think every year there's there was one mainstay, you know, villain. But I think every year has kind of a different storyline to it. And I think a lot of the time it ends up being whoever's like winning at the time kind of ends up being a villain. Or if somebody pulls off a trade where they end up winning the trade by a large margin, they kind of end up being the villain. Like Ryan, I thought you were a little bit of the villain last year just because you made that trade for McCaffrey and he was so good.
Yeah, I was not popular. Yeah. I was not popular amongst the so league, but it is what it is.
I will say –
what were you saying?
For Stockel being number one pretty much the entire time, maybe Billy overtook him 1 week, but Stockel has remained relatively low key about his position.
Fair.
Yeah, he has. And I mean, he's proved everybody wrong. I think we came at him pretty hard about his perceived lack of depth. When McCaffrey got hurt, and then all he's really done since then is win. So yep. I think he's and his team is set up for the long haul when McCaffrey does come back. So
yeah, that's a little scary, I think.
Yeah, I was looking at the standings, and he has made one move so far.
That's honestly impressive.
Yeah, I was looking at the standings. I forget what year it was, maybe 2018. And Mike had made 105 moves over the course of the season, and Jake made 7.
That's wild.
That is wild.
That's less than a move a week.
105 is hilariously funny.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if Mike was just recycling his bench every week. He might have been, honestly. He's a grinder.
He's a grinder.
The moves are really funny to look at.
Chris, to round out this podcast, we received an interesting question on the Kelly's Insider Instagram, and from league member, if the conglomerate was a football team, what position would each member play? Now, to make it fair and to have 12 different slots, we've kind of worked around a little bit. So we have a head coach, a quarterback, 2 running backs, 2 wide receivers, a flex, a tight end, defense, kicker. Then we have a cheerleader and a commentator. So I'll let you take it from here.
See, I don't know everyone's like athletic ability. I know some better than others.
Doesn't have to be athletics related.
Oh, doesn't have to be?
It could be whatever criteria you see fit.
Yeah, create whatever roster you
think. Well, I guess we'll start with coach.
Spots best.
start from the top down. I think Jack's got to be the coach.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
There's just no other person that has that. You know, it runs in the DNA.
He's an X's and O's guy.
Yeah.
Huge X's and O's guy. So what do we have next?
Quarterback.
I feel quarterback.
Quarterback.
This is a tough one. I feel like it's got to be like. I think it's got to be Billy. I think he's just like the most outspoken, in the league. I think that's what you need from a cornerback. You need the guy that's willing to lead. I don't know if he's willing to lead properly, but he's willing to lead.
Noted. We got two running backs.
Mike's got to be a running back, just workhorse.
Then we should change one of them to fullback.
I think that's perfect. Yeah, we'll make Mike a fullback.
Yeah, Mike could be fullback. I think Walsh has got to be another one.
Yes.
I don't know why, but I think
they both just – they would both classify as that stereotypical, like, gym rat. Like, Walsh would be Danny Woodhead.
Yeah, or like Maurice Jones-Drew.
All right, we got two receivers and a flex.
I feel like Evan's a big flex guy.
What is that? Why? What does that mean?
Jack of all trades.
I don't know. I feel like, you know.
I'm life's flex. I'm looking at,
yeah, your life's what's the tool where it has like the screwdriver, the knife, and the
Swiss Army knife.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So I need two wide receivers. I think Lou's got to be a wide receiver.
Yeah.
He's
the jump ball guy.
Yeah.
I thought he'd be a sleeper for tight end, but.
He's just like the tallest, one of the taller ones. So I just automatically, you know, throw him in there.
That makes sense.
I don't know who else would be the other. Morin's definitely the kicker. I feel like I'd have to put like Rose as the other wide receiver.
All right. I think that's fair.
I don't know. What else am I missing?
Tight end, defense. Cheerleader and commentator.
I think Stockel will be commentator.
Yeah.
I think that's perfect.
I think I'd have to put myself on defense. Or tight end. I don't know. I could be a tight end. Who am I missing? EY? See, I don't know EY enough to like – I don't know where – what do you guys put EY? Because I don't know EY enough to
– I actually, hot take, I would have put Eli as defense because back in our Rutgers days, this might be a little bit of a reach, but he sort of protected our party environments and always made sure that everyone had time. And he defense, DJ, sort of parallels. I don't know. Yeah, that's where my mind was going.
I almost would have put Eli as a coach because he was kind of like, when we were living in Bartlett, he ran it. Like, he was kind of, like, calling all the plays. Especially, like, I think, like, that one my sophomore year. So I could have seen him as the coach. I mean, Jack's definitely the X's and O's guy. He's got the pedigree. But I could have also seen Jack going to defense, given his family, family ties. And then EY as coach, and then Chris, that would slot you in at the tight end. But I think
I got to be tight end at this rate. EY's safe defense with what I've heard. I think that's a good position for him.
And so that we just need Speed Smith as the cheerleader.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like he, I don't know. Booze brings the energy. Like, when it was like a Monday and we were at 114,
he would walk in. Whenever he would turn that corner at 114 with a six-pack of platinums, he was ready to roll. And I think that's what you need from a cheerleader.
I think that's great.
Yeah, I think that's good.
To finish things off here, Evan, do you have any parting questions for our guest, Rookie Chris?
No.
Christopher?
Evan, I just want...
Any final thoughts?
Yeah. Obviously, thank you for having me on. It's been a pleasure. I would love to wish Evan good luck this week. I think it's going to be a good game. You know, I hope it's a shootout. I hope we give the fans what they want. And to everyone else out there, keep fighting the fight. The war not over.
Wow, those are some powerful,
certainly not over.
Powerful words from one of the youngest members of the league, if not the youngest.
I have to be the youngest.
Yeah, you definitely have to be, right? Like 100%, you are.
Yeah.
So those words just become even more powerful.
Wow.
But yeah. I would wish Chris good luck as well. I think in light of your power rankings, this will be a very telling week for a lot of teams. But I agree. I think everybody likes to see a shootout, more points than less points. So hopefully both our teams comply.
I hope so, because if my team doesn't, you know, number two in the rankings would not look so good. So, you know, I hope they're listening right now.
All right, gentlemen. Well, thank you for the time tonight, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Thank you.
All right. See you, Ryan. See you, Chris.
See ya.
Good evening.